Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to welcome a quintessential entrepreneur, Visham Sikand. Visham, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh.
Visham is from Harvard Business School. He's done several startups, exited from several startups. And interestingly, he scaled two of the seven highest summits. So Visham, tell me a little bit about what would be the three key milestones in your career?
Oh, that's a good one, actually. Sometimes even I think about what would be the ones that I really like out of all of them. Mm-hmm. So I think passing out from Harvard Business School and becoming an alum of Harvard Business School by education, because I come from a background of very well-educated people. So mm-hmm. I would put that on the top. Mm-hmm. The second one was my second company getting acquired when I was just, I think, 31 or 32 by Aetna, which is a Fortune 49 company. So I was just in the third year of the company, and then we got a deal recently above 100 CR at that time, and mm-hmm. it was completely bootstrapped. Mm-hmm. So that would be number two. I think the third milestone will be when I transitioned from the job world as an entrepreneur to generally becoming an entrepreneur. That was in 2007, and is when I decided that. And that was just 5 years of job life in which I have no background in the family of anybody doing business. So I think these three would be the biggest milestones in my life, professionally, for sure.
When I was reading about you, Visham, you say that you have been mentored by Mark Zuckerberg as well as founding leaders of Google, Intuit, and Amazon. Tell me a little bit about this experience and how was it to interact with all these people?
So let me tell you the ones that in maybe in the order of. Sure. So the first trek that I did was with my wife after we got married. And this is called the Harki Dune trek. Okay. In which most, as soon as the IS officers get into the Indian IS, that's the trek they do. So it's the path to heaven, Harki Dune. It's the last of the mythology of Mahabharata is where it's, that's the end of Mahabharata.
Sure.
And on this trek, I at that time met the head of Google coming on the same trek. So he had come with his wife and two kids. And the same trek, I was just as typical, I was just, I think, 25 years old or 26 years old. I met him and he kept talking about it. At that time, he was transitioning as CTO for Yahoo. Okay. To becoming the head of Google in India. And I asked him, hey, don't mind, like I'm like obviously 15 years younger to you, what kind of monies do you guys earn? So he said, hey, Visham, obviously these guys are at a different level. He's one of the co-founders of the Google Maps and all that. So he said, hey, they're just giving me a $2 million sign up to join in. And this was like, I'm talking about 2004. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are a couple of equities as well as, so at that stage, I got overwhelmed by the fact that will I ever reach this kind of thing? And that's when I told Prasad Ram was the first person. So he was in India earlier. Google was not Google as a business. It had just the R&D center. So he was the head of the R&D, very technically savvy from IIT. I think IIT Chennai. And so that was the first person that who came on my board of all three companies, advisory boards. So in my first Plat 5, from then IHO, and then obviously in Goals 101, he's always been there. So today he runs an extremely, a very big global ed tech company funded by, I think, the Bill Gates family, as well as the Google founders. So he runs a company called Guru. So he was the first person who came on the advisory board. Then thankfully, not to stay too much, my sister in US works in Palo Alto, is a very famous dentist. Mm-hmm. So Mark Zuckerberg's dad works in the same clinic for a few days in a week. And that's how she keeps talking about how they are growing, how young he is he, and what kind of like clear focus is he. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a people's manager, but absolutely stunning in his intelligence. Mm-hmm. And that's how once or twice through her, I met him. Mm-hmm. And actually, he was wearing his Oculus at that time also. And that's how they got me into that. And then one of my friends was the global product head for Intuit from Harvard Business School. Okay. So he was the one who gave me the name punchline for this company that, hey, you have to go for something called PAD, which is personalized, automated, and delightful banking. Mm-hmm. So these are the three people who have been quite influential. A lot of senior guys have worked, like the Amex CEO previously, Sanjay Rishi working in this one, the private equity MD of Aditya Birla Group, people like Alok Mittal. All have been on either advisory boards or full-time boards. The previous Facebook CEOs and the full-time board of my current company. Mm-hmm. Outstanding people. So I've been lucky to have them. Maybe I have a little bit of convincing skills to bring them.
Wonderful. That's terrific. So let's move first to your current company and then we'll talk about Plat 5 and IHO later.
Right. Sure.
Goals 101 Data Solutions. Tell me about this venture.
okay, you know what? This time I wanted to take out a product company out of India and take it global. So the scale, I wanted to change the scale. You would hear of limited product companies coming out of India, more of services coming out of India. And that's what we are famous for, manpower. Mm-hmm. And product companies have high margins. It requires you to understand what's required globally. Mm-hmm. And that's when, and then the second part I wanted to always do was something with banks, because that's what is something I kind of understand. Mm-hmm. And third aspect is when I shifted to the Bay Area for a bit after the second acquisition was on data. Mm-hmm. So when the banks, and with the classic simple statement that I always used to tell them, that hey, I have take you are my primary bank, my home loan is from India Bulls, why don't you send me a message saying, hey Visham, I can buy your home loan product. Mm-hmm. So they never had an answer. They say, hey Visham, so the credit card teams will have to talk to the home loan teams. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said, that a very easy business facing data platform needs to be made for the banks, in which, and everything has to be decently automated. You have to go to the bank and say, tell me in advance what your marketing team is saying, the legal teams are saying. Mm-hmm. After that, let the communication go as per data. So mm-hmm. Goals 101 is an intelligent data platform for banks, which ensures personalized, automated, and delightful banking. We make back-end and front-end for the banks through the platform.
And how does it help the consumer?
So the consumer today, for example, I would not name banks, you would get 30 different texts from... Yeah, you get 30 different texts from the bank saying, hey, Ashutosh, would you like to go for McDonald's? We have a 20% off. And next day, even if you've got your bonus, they will next day say, hey, would you like to get a personal loan? Strangely, very oxymoronish. And that's what you want to change. You want the bank customers to feel that, hey, my bank is intelligent. The Facebooks of the world are reading me, which I don't want them to read. The bank where I'm doing my transaction, which should intelligently recommend what I should be liking and doing next, is not doing that. So for the consumers, we are making banking more relevant for them. And that's what the end goal is. Yeah.
Okay, terrific. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you also, and this is a quote from one of your notes, you said the future of an organization is as good as the quality of its people. I've often heard people are our best assets, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, help me understand your philosophy of how a future of an organization is as good as its people.
You know what, it starts from you not being defensive that, hey, you know what, is someone else going to take it? Generally, that happens in the corporate world. In the entrepreneurial world, obviously, you want the best people to work along with you. It's just that you don't get them, or it's difficult to get them at that stage. So at HBS, when somebody asks you, what are the two or three main outcomes that you got out of HBS? I think the fundamental base of the pyramid of a company are the people. If you have 6 or 7 super motivated, well-aligned, clear on their goals and the company strategy, working along with you, I think you are surely going to be successful, unless you're obviously doing something wrong, terribly wrong.
Right.
So I believe that is the fundamental foundation of a company, the right people.
And you know, that's an old paradigm also, and I'm glad you're living up to it, that always as an entrepreneur, always hire people who are better than you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because only then will you be able to do other things in life, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. For that reason also, you can do other things in life too then. Yeah.
I agree. So Visham, let's talk about your earlier two ventures now.
Right.
You know, tell me about first Plat 5 consultancy and then about IHO.
Actually, Plat 5 brings a big smile on me because that's the company that got me a lot of cash straight after, like, I was 27, 28 years.
Wonderful.
So just to tell you, when I was, my last job was a bank called ABN AMRO, which became RBS later.
Yeah.
We had designed, my boss came to me, he's currently the CEO of IndusInd Bank. I used to be his blue-eyed boy because I was not want to do something which is BAU. We designed a product for the aspirational customer saying, hey, so we used to have something called ABN AMRO Gold Card, and everybody wanted that card and pay a 2,000 rupee fees at that time. That's equal to, like, let's literally say 50,000 rupees on the platinum card on Amex today.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference was that the kind of benefits you get on the card, not necessarily the card limit. So I went to my boss and said, why don't we upgrade all of our customers to the ABN Gold card with all the benefits? You can't give them the, let's say, a limit on it because the risk won't allow you. And we started calling them up and saying, hey, there are 5 more benefits we've added. We added a flight voucher and all that. And we had approximately 80% of the base ticket, and we generated about 240 crores of revenue on it. Mm-hmm. And everything around this was done by me, the upgrades and the vouchers and the program and the service issues. I started getting calls from some banks. And then that's when I went to this company called InfoVision Group. I don't know if you know them, IVG, Mr. Aditya Gupta. He became the chairman of Serco when he sold the company. And I said, hey, I know how to run this. All I need is a data secure infrastructure like you have. And we'll run it over there. And I still remember when we started, we got Barclays Bank, we got Deutsche Bank, we got HSBC, we got SBI, we got literally almost all banks at that time. Right. Literally in a month, we were generating upward of 5 crores of revenue and a bottom line of close to 1.5 crores per month of minimum. And for me coming out, like we were three partners in that, equally me running the show, for me to get 60 lakh kind of revenue, bottom line at that time at my age was something I could not believe in. Yes. So till 2008, 9, 10, banking slowdown, this was what Plat5 did, upgraded customers to a different level of service.
Terrific.
In IHO, I got excited and said, hey, I know how to become an entrepreneur. So I started my own company parallelly. And obviously my other two partners said, hey, you are sitting on a cash cow. Why are you defocusing yourself? And Indian Health Organization Private Limited, even to get that name, I had to literally fight with the air and go to the government and say, hey, why can't you give me this name? And they said, to take an India name, I don't know whether you know it, you have a 50 lakh capital minimum required. So at that time, at 29 years old, to put that capital on the side to get a name was what I insured. Then what I did was, in US, you have called something called discount dental plans, which are $1 billion plus companies. This is about doctors giving you time during your free inventory. Like in the morning, 10 to 12, they're free. They're free from 2 to 5. If you go to them at this time, they give you services at 50% the cost. So instead of a $200, they will charge you $100. So instead of a $2,000 for braces, they will charge you $1,000. So we went to all the labs, pharmacies, all. So we got a network, I think, of 34,000 leading ones. Where we certified them and they offered us up to 50% off. And we started giving out this annual health discount cards. It did really, really well. So we were profitable year one, we were profitable year two, and then Aetna acquired us. Yeah.
Wonderful. Terrific. Yeah. I mean, you're one of the few people who has had so many successful exits. So congratulations. You must be doing something right. So, Visham, this gives me an interesting segue into my next more generic questions on startups and entrepreneurship.
Please. Yeah.
My first question to you is, and I've often been asked this, what is the advantage of having a partner versus going solo?
Okay. I'll put it in binary. Okay. So very interestingly, when I went for my first partnership, he was Aditya Gupta, and Guptas are generally good at their business, right? They're very good at their business acumen. So I said, hey, let's you and I partner. He said, that's a very bad idea, Visham. He was a UK citizen. So I said, what's wrong with that? He said, two is a dispute and three is a decision. So you always have to partner with so in an odd number so that tomorrow if there's an issue, and he had faced it in his life. Partnership is extremely critical to manage your stress, to get right inputs. There are a lot of advantages unless you are really greedy about owning the entire company's equity. Other than that, I see all other advantages into it. So I think partnership is great, but getting it into the odd numbers is definitely a gyan or a mantra that I give everyone, that will allow you to maybe have an issue. You tomorrow think he's your best friend and he will side you and you get a third person. It really, at the end, they are also risking their lives. So all will take a decision best for the company. And that's why I think three or five will be a good idea.
So that's a very interesting perspective, you know, to have three or five. That's incredible. And have you had three or five in your companies?
The first one was three. The second one was two. The second one, two. But at that time, I knew how to handle a partner. So for the first time, I would suggest everyone to either do one or three. The second time, if you know that, hey, you're good with partnership skills, then you can go for two and I had the partner was super nice, someone who speaks as nicely and softly as you. So that's why I went for a two in the next one.
So my next question is that, you know, we know that 9 out of 10 startups don't make it.
Okay.
I'm sure, you know, you must be investing in several startups as well. Mm-hmm. According to you, Visham, what are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
I have an anecdote, Ashutosh, if you don't mind, I'll talk about this.
No, go ahead.
The first time the Thai had started its programs in India, Thai is the Indus Entrepreneurs, right? Okay. So these five leading venture capitalists called me on the stage because that time I was like the poster boy, the CNBC Entrepreneur of the Year, Thai, the Times Entrepreneur of the Year, and Business World of Business Today also. So they called me on the stage and these four guys, so everybody, all the entrepreneurs were asking questions to all these guys, what is it required to get funded, whatever. And when my turn came, I said, these guys on my left side, these four guys are okay for 9 out of 10 to fail. Are you okay to risk your life for just getting funding from these guys? And they all looked at me and they said, hey, this guy's almost killing our business model. And so I would really suggest to people that it's cash rich business is what you have to first think about. It's not about the funding. It's not about the race to get your KPIs right, to get your first check in your account. If you're sure, definitely in the first one, if you're risking it, because if the first one doesn't go right, 90% of the entrepreneurs will go back. Okay. So I would personally suggest that something has to be which is generating your cash to make your house exist. After that, go ahead and take all the risk on earth if you want to do it in that business or next one. But be a businessman first and an entrepreneur second. So that would be my input, that if you know, like my father-in-law or somebody, they would never go and risk their futures on a funding or in thought process like that.
Correct.
They are 90% successful because the tenacity over there is completely different from today's entrepreneurs, who just has, at least a broad of them have a one goal, get money. Yeah.
Very true. And valuation.
Yeah, and valuation. That I can't comment. I'm racing it for it too, so I can't comment too much.
Okay.
This time. Yeah,
that's okay, time. Fair enough. So the message you're giving to all our viewers and listeners is that stay in cash as long as you can. But the follow-up question is, how much time should you have enough cash for?
One is enough. How much time do you have enough cash for? And that's a very, very difficult question to answer for anyone. Like somebody would say, it depends on your what kind of life you're living, whether you're married or whatever. So I don't have an answer to that one. I would say be smart, shoot, run, race, beg, whatever it requires to get money in your pocket to ensure that you have that 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 3 lakh, whatever that is, or 50,000 for you to make your life comfortable enough.
Yeah. Terrific. That's a good thumb rule to have.
Right.
So my next question is that, you know, you've met lots of private equity people. I've met lots of private equity people. And the general mantra is, how long will you take to scale up?
Right.
So in your opinion, when should a startup start to scale up?
So there are two kinds of broad startups, as I say. There's a consumer startup. The consumer startup has to show KPIs literally in 3 months of the launch of whatever they are doing, and it has to go in the right direction. While there would be some which are medium sized, like for example, I don't know about pharmacy. Pharmacy would take time. Health, you can't say, hey, I'm going to start showing KPIs tomorrow morning at all. We all have seen it. It doesn't work. Today, I'm doing enterprise business. Literally, the word would be frustrating because I'm used to results tomorrow morning. And enterprise businesses take time. So my peer companies, which are doing good globally, are 5 to 10 years before even they got their first revenue check. But today they are obviously doing $1 billion plus of revenues and all. So it depends on the type of business you're running. So have patience on the kind of business you're running. But if you're running an enterprise business, you better, or it depends on the size of the enterprise business, also whether you're charging 2,000 rupees for a POS implementation or like us charging $1 million to a bank. So the patience levels and timelines will be completely different for each kind of business. Yeah.
Well said. Well said. Right. So now I'm going to move to the last segment of my conversation with you, which is some questions for you personally.
Right.
My first question is that, you know, you're young, you've achieved so much in life, recognized all over the world. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
Okay. You know what? When I was young, I used to say dad or whatever, but I think to some extent, people at a certain age realize that they could be self-motivated. I'm self-motivated towards some goals. So the inspiration to achieve personal growth on health, on my career, or social aspirations to do for the world, I think come from myself itself. So that's what I would put it at. Because in today's world, if I like Bill Gates, I would see a negative side of him also, that he didn't probably allow other companies to grow up to him. So I think I'm personally self-motivated is what I would put it as. It sounds selfish, but I think that's the fact.
No, that's a very interesting comment because it's a good segue to my next question. Mm-hmm. How do you set personal and professional goals?
Good story on this one, anecdotal again. When I was doing my engineering, and that's when I got out of my DPS kind of school, which is typical, hey, this is what you have to do in life. That's where I got a little bit of my wings. In my third year, when I was preparing for my MBA, I made an Excel sheet for myself that, hey, this is what I have to achieve for myself. And that time it was just about my family and parties with my friends. So I had to say in 25, I will have a car. So they were quite decently objective slash commercial. Mm-hmm. But over time, as you say, in the pyramids of our lives, things have changed. So from, for example, I can completely overcommit or commit that anything that I earn from goals 101 will be for a social cause. So it's not that I want to run with this money anywhere else. I don't want to give it to my kids. So this is completely for a social cause towards some schooling that I'm thinking of or other social aspects. So that's what it is right now.
Well said, well said. So my next question is that if you, Visham, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
Okay, yeah. So I think I've realized it over time, and maybe it's my age now. It's not a race. It's mm-hmm. not a race that we all have to run for. We all, literally the guys who did their MBAs at the age of 21, It was, hey, you know what? Did I get my 30% increment this year? Or did I get 20%? Today, the things are not the same for me at all. I'm just saying, similarly for the world, I hopefully it's changing. So the race has to be a long-term one if you want to run it. So don't go for the short-term race, which is very tempting. Win it. You will win it if you're thinking the long way kind of thing. So the big boys, I'm saying Sundar Pichai would have not got anything in the first 5 years of his life. Trust me. But the play on the values, ethics, how you are to the world, how you behave, what you expect in return, what how you behave is what you will finally get. Be aggressive. That doesn't mean don't be aggressive. We have to have your objectives right. But it's not the race for a 2 year, 3 year or 5 year program. That's like Shah Rukh Khan. Some people will be Shah Rukh Khan. They'll win it in 3 years. They will be a white hat junior somewhere. But everybody won't be. So do not necessarily run for that kind of race.
Well said. So my next question is, what does success mean to you?
We used to pray earlier, hey, make my dad has happy or make my family happy or whatever. Today, especially in the corona environments, I just ask for two things. My health physically and just broadly, it's my physical and mental health. The mental health and physical health is what I really aspire for. So that's why the treks. That's why, just to tell you, in my farm, I do 100 lengths a day. I've just come doing 100 lengths of swimming in a day today morning. I play my tennis. I played tennis. Then I did my 100 lengths. Uh-huh. So I think physical health and mental health is all I aspire for. Mm-hmm. Everything else, academically, there's a buffer. If tomorrow I fall, something else will be my buffer over there. So for me, the aspiration is just to ensure these two are going in the right way. And being happy, like being happily talking to you with a smile rather than stressfully talking to you without a smile.
Well said. I mean, last question to you. You know, many, many people will listen to your and my conversation. A lot of them will be aspiring entrepreneurs. What would your advice be to a young individual wanting to start their entrepreneurial journey?
You know what? I think the entire world should be entrepreneurs. It changed my life completely. So I don't think I would have been able to have that kind of complete feeling. So if you're becoming an entrepreneur, it may be tough. It will be tough, but I think that's the best decision you're taking. Don't be egoistic to say that, hey, you know what, this will work and this is how it will work. Today only I was talking to one of the entrepreneurs on this aspect. Hey, I think this is something that Microsoft has. He was trying to build VR virtual rooms in the way we are talking. So we should be actually sitting in the same room probably. So I said, Microsoft is building something like this already. So he said, looks like, so I'm going to change my business model. That's what it has to be in today's term, especially if you're working on technology. So you have to move fast, don't be egoistic, but you're doing the best thing ever. It will change your life. You're far superior. If you earn 1/4, multiply that by 100. If you're earning four times of your friend, obviously you multiply that by 1,000. So be happy in doing it. Yeah.
Right.
You're your own boss. Yeah. It's your own life that you're living after that.
Wonderful. Vishram, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, and I wish you success with every venture that you take up.
Thanks, Ashutosh. It's a pleasure from my side too. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.